This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. So the topic for today is a very hot topic. It's a topic that's on a lot of people's minds, whether they are, in this or just outside of this. And that big topic is the M word, marriage. The idea that I want to talk about today with regards to marriage is, what is the purpose of marriage, and why is it that I think we fall into a lot of sort of traps along the way, whether we are seeking to get married or we are already married. And I think that basically the problem can be summed up in this way, and that is that I think that what we have done as a community is we have, and maybe, you know, on a larger scale, not just our community, but what we have taken marriage and we have seen it as the end itself, as the goal itself, instead of just a means. And this sounds very conceptual, but it really is. When you sit, and I'll talk about why I say that's the case, and then when I talk about, when we really break it down and we look at the effect of making marriage an end rather than a means, it's extremely profound. It has a very profound effect, and I think it explains a lot of the phenomenon that we find sort of revolving around marriage right now. And so let me sort of back up and look at the way in which marriage or relationships have been sort of depicted in the media or in the stories that we have grown up listening to and watching on television and in novels. I think that the message across the board, starting as far back as Disney, is that there's a story, and or there's a woman, usually a damsel in distress. There's a woman or there's a man. Basically, there's someone who is incomplete in some way. They're in distress. There's some deficiency in this person, or there's something wrong with them, or something wrong or missing in their life. And as a result, they're kind of going through their life searching, you know. And it's obvious they're searching what they're searching for. They're searching for their other half. They're searching for their soulmate. And what they're really searching for is someone to save them, for someone to complete them, for someone to make them okay. And the idea here is that the entire struggle, the entire path is just about finding that other person, about reaching that sort of completion in another person. And then what happens is the story, you know, there's ups and downs, and, you know, it goes, you know, there's lots of, you know, the plot goes up and down. And eventually the person meets their other half slash soulmate slash husband slash wife. And now the story is over. Now that's the end of the story, the end of the book, the end of the fairy tale, the end of the movie. That's where it ends. Well, the message here, and this is basically the message that we grow up with. We internalize this message, and that is that getting to that point where you meet that other person, in marriage or just, you know, even, you know, as a soulmate type mentality, that is the end. That's the goal. This is where I want to end up. This is kind of, it becomes my focus. It becomes where I'm hoping to, basically the end of the road. Why is that so dangerous? Well, the reason why that's so dangerous is because marriage is not the end. Marriage is not the goal. And there is no, and if you think in this way that basically you are incomplete or deficient until you meet that other person or until you get married, then you are actually, first of all, you will, once you get to that point, what will happen is you will reach a level of disillusionment or disappointment. And the reason that happens is because nothing can complete us except for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nothing can sort of save us in that sense. If there's something that's deficient in me, it's deficient in me because it's because I need to seek that fulfillment in my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So then the question is, well, where does marriage fit in? Where does that other, you know, that relationship fit in? And this is where we talk about the means. We talk about the vehicle, the tool to bring us to our end. So if our end is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if our end is being in Jannah with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then everything else in my life should be a means to take me to that end. Everything else should be facilitating that journey. And if something is not facilitating that journey, then I should look for a means or a tool that will. Now, how does that again apply in this case of marriage? Well, what are some of the pitfalls, basically, I would call them, that happen as a result of making marriage an end instead of just a means? Well, first of all, you get this situation that many of the unmarried people fall into. And that is, people will treat you, so long as you're not married or you haven't, suppose, you know, you're in your 20s and you haven't found, you know, the right person and you haven't gotten married. People treat you as if you're not a complete person yet, as if you haven't, you haven't yet fulfilled your purpose of creation. And this is why the whole idea of people, you know, some people were telling me that, they're not married yet, and maybe they're 25. And you know, when a girl gets to be 25 and she's not married yet, you know, it's like the end of the world, and it's as if she has cancer or something. And the idea here is that it's because you have made it, it's as if I'm going through my life and everything is preparing me for this end. And that's a very, very wrong way to see marriage. Marriage is just another means that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded for us to get to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah is the means. Allah is the end, not marriage itself. And so, what does that mean then? So if I'm in a marriage, and this gets to, you know, some of the other, I think, pitfalls as a result of making marriage the end itself. And the other one is that I think when we take marriage itself as the end, and rather than it being something to take me to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I think we tend to not choose our partners for the right reasons. So if my goal is just I want to be married, or I want to be in that relationship for the sake of that relationship, or for the sake of my nafs, I'm going to choose my partner very differently than I would if I'm looking for someone who's going to help me reach Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what I mean by that, this is when you see things like for example, the sisters that are having trouble getting married are the ones who are a little bit older, perhaps even more educated. They're the ones who maybe not as young and, you know, attractive. And so what's happening is the people are choosing their partners, you know, a lot of times for superficial reasons. So it's the looks, it's the fact that they're young, it's the fact that maybe they're not as threatened by someone who doesn't have as much of a higher education. So the idea here is maybe we are seeking marriage not for the sake of bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but maybe we're seeking it for the sake of my nafs, for the sake of, I like this. And so what happens as a result is then some of the really, really amazing sisters, who, you know, they have the beautiful character and beautiful hearts and beautiful deen, those sisters are being overlooked for other reasons, because they might be older, or sometimes even, you know, they might have been previously married. So these are the types of things which can be overlooked, because marriage itself, again, is not being seen as this means to bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala necessarily, but rather an end in and of itself. Now, inshallah, what I'm going to do, and I want to hear from you guys, so inshallah, you know, write your questions, your thoughts in the chat box. I'm going to take a short break, and when we return, we'll continue talking about marriage, an end or a means. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmin Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. We are speaking today about the topic of marriage. What is the purpose of marriage? Is marriage an end, or is it a means among other means to get to our final goal, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And I'm speaking today about how I think that we as a community have made marriage into the goal itself, the end itself. And even the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that a lot of people use in order to sort of support this position, the hadith that says that marriage, the hadith that speaks about marriage as half of your deen. And I think that this hadith is actually so perfect to explain precisely how marriage is actually a means. If you think about your deen and you think about the type of attributes as a Muslim that we should have and the type of character traits that we should have as believers, there's basically no better way to build those traits than in the institution of marriage. And the reason is that we can talk about generosity, we can read about sabr and patience, and we can, hear lots of lectures about putting other people's needs before our own and, being selfless and all these things. But these are all concepts that we never really can build in ourselves unless these are tested, unless we're trained. And marriage is really a time when all of these and so many of these qualities have to be trained and have to be built in order to make it work. You have to learn patience. You have to learn generosity. You have to actually experientially learn these things. And so when you talk about marriage being half of deen, definitely marriage can build half your deen, if you go about it in the right way. And so again, marriage being a means to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And even when you look at the ayah that's, put on every single marriage invitation, except like two, is the one where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنْ آيَاتِهِ أَنْ خَلَقَ لَكُمْ مِنْ أَنفُسَكُمْ أَزْوَاجًا لِتَسْكُنُوا إِلَيْهَا وَجَعَلَ بَيْنَكُمْ مَوَدَّةً وَرَحْمَةً. That, from among the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that He created for you spouses from among yourselves, and He put between you, so that you can live together in tranquility. And He put between you mawadda and rahma, love and mercy. Now, if you look at this ayah, it's really interesting because we focus a lot on the concept of that love and mercy between the hearts and that tranquility. And that's a beautiful thing. But notice how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins this ayah. He says, wa min ayatihi, that it's from His signs. So what is a sign? What's the purpose of a sign? When you see a sign, you're not supposed to get lost in the sign. The sign is pointing you to something else. The sign is pointing you to where you're supposed to be looking and where you're supposed to be going and where you're supposed to be focused on. And in this case, even that love itself, even that mercy itself, even that bond itself isn't just for its own sake, but rather even that is a sign and a pointer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to the mercy and love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the oneness and the tawheed of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So that sort of concept that we get lost in, right? That romantic ideal, that romantic love that we get lost in, and we make the goal of our existence in some cases, like the goal itself, the end itself. Even that is a pointer to the actual goal. Even that is a pointer to the actual end, which is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa min ayatihi, that He created all of this. The same way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala talks about His other signs in the universe. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that inna fi khalqis samawati wal ardi wa ikhtilafi al-layli wan nahari la ayatin li ulil albab. That indeed in the creation of the heavens and the earth and the alteration of night and day are signs for those who reflect in that way, that look at these signs and they see something. They see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind it. And in the same way that the sky and the moon and the stars and the alteration of heaven of night and day is a sign to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness, even this love between a husband and a wife is a sign and a pointer to Allah's greatness. So you see the different perspective here, that it's not a pointer to, you know, to the nafs. It's not just for the sake of those, you know, that is just for the sake of itself. You know, one can sit and they can appreciate the sunset. They can appreciate the sunset. But if you appreciate the sunset and you realize how beautiful it is without realizing the one who made that sunset, without realizing the point of the sunset, then you've completely missed it. You know, it's like the idea here is that there is a message. There is a message in this sign of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In whatever beauty there is that Allah has created, it's a sign of Him, Azza wa Jal. Now, I want to, you know, just sort of go back to the chat box. There's a lot kind of going on. And one of the themes that I hear a lot and that people are talking about is that I guess parents make it really difficult to get married. And so marriage has sort of become very complicated. And as a result, it becomes, you know, quote, easier to date than it is to get married. And this is a serious problem. And it's something that, I mean, I don't know how many parents are listening to this show, but it's definitely something that the Prophet ﷺ has told us not to do, right? We're not supposed to make marriage complicated. We're not supposed to ask for these huge, elaborate, weddings and, mahar and we're supposed to, you know, we're supposed to make the halal easy and the haram difficult and not the other way around. Unfortunately, sometimes we make the haram very easy and we make the halal very difficult. And that's a problem, definitely. One thing with regards to the wedding itself, a lot of times we, as I guess it happens a lot with us girls especially, but in general, there's so much focus on the wedding itself. And it's kind of interesting because once the wedding is over, you think about it and it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what color you wore. It doesn't matter what kind of flowers you had. It's not going to matter, you know, what type of dessert you served. All of these things are not going to matter. And yet we become so focused on these things. And it goes back to that same problem that we have of mixing up what is actually our goal. You know, what is the means and what is the end? I mean, the wedding itself, it's just a means to get married, but yet we make it the end, you know, like we sit and we plan and we fight and we get very, very upset. And you know, and anybody who's engaged, knows like the amount of drama, the amount of drama that comes, you know, as a result of just planning this really ultimately insignificant few hours of our life. And it's just, subhanAllah, this is just the human condition. We lose focus so easily. And, you know, it's just something to keep in mind that, you know, at the end of the day, this is just a few hours. And what really is going to matter is the marriage itself. And beyond that, what's really going to matter is this marriage bringing me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or is it taking me farther from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And again, that sort of gets me into another topic, which has to do with, the idea of separation ever being something that is better for one's deen. And, you know, the idea here is that, you know, people, again, when you see marriage as the end itself, then as a result of that, you would always see any type of separation as necessarily bad. But if marriage is a means, so if marriage is supposed to be like everything else in my life, a means to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if there's a situation, for example, an abusive situation, an abusive marriage, now this means, this was supposed to be a means to bring me closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but this means is not doing its job. It's a tool that is not doing its job. And in fact, it's harming me and it's harming my path to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the abuse. And, you know, when you are in an abusive relationship, It is not, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that He does not approve of injustice, of oppression. And so it is not more holy to allow yourself to be abused and say that I'm being patient. But rather Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not approve of oppression, and neither should we approve of oppression on our own selves or on those around us. And so it isn't closer, you don't get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by enabling an oppressor and allowing yourself to be oppressed. So that's something also that we have to keep in mind, that, you know, when something is taking you away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then it's no longer good for you. And we have to understand that there are times when something, when it's no longer good for you and you need to make a change. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always to guide us to what is best for us and what is best for our dunya and our akhirah. But something that we have to keep in mind is this, that marriage itself is not the end itself, but rather it should be something that is bringing us nearer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If just on the topic really quickly of abuse itself, when someone is being abused, the thing that happens is that something that should be exclusively for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gets transferred to another person, and that is fear. We know that we should love and fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala most, and that no one else should compete with that love and that fear. But when I fear someone else so much that it actually consumes me, instead of me fearing Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I'm fearing another person. And that is hindering my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is hindering my ibadah, my worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because now my ultimate fear, what consumes me, what takes over my mind, is a fear of another person. And that is not good for my relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even on that level. So inshallah, let me go ahead and take a look at the chat box. Bring your questions and your comments. Inshallah, we'll take a very short break. And when we return, we'll talk about your questions and your reflections. Assalamu alaikum. This is Yasmeen Mujahid, and you're listening to Serenity, streaming live on One Legacy Radio. So we have some discussion going on in the chat box, mostly about kicking out good men. Basically, the chat box is open to both men and women. Just want to make that clear. I just have to read this comment because it's pretty funny. Good man says, fine, I will leave. Now you know where all the good men are, driven away by women, driven far, far away. We don't want to drive out any good men. Inshallah, we want to have more good men. May there be more good men like good man, person on here. One thing I wanted to talk about, quickly here is the concept of, you know, the idea of how do we choose a partner and the whole decision making that happens beforehand. And there's a lot of confusion about istikhara. What's istikhara? What's the, you know, how do you understand or how do you get an answer for your istikhara? So I just want to talk about istikhara a little bit. Istikhara is the prayer that the Prophet ﷺ teaches us to do in times of decision, and we can make this, we can do this for really, I mean, anytime we're gonna do something, take a decision. I mean, there's no real limit on it, because essentially, it's a du'a to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the sunnah is to pray two rak'ahs with the intention of istikhara, and then read the du'a of istikhara. And if you look at the du'a of istikhara, it is, you know, because a lot of people wonder, how do I understand the answer to my istikhara? And people, I think, also put a lot of different limits on istikhara. You can only pray it a certain number of times, or you can only do it at a certain time of the day. Istikhara is you asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. So it's something that, I mean, we can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala any time. And the idea of istikhara, if you look at the meaning of the dua, you begin the dua by acknowledging that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and we don't know. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able and we are not able. So we acknowledge from the beginning that we are blind to what is best for us and what is not best for us. We are blind to what is in the future. We don't have that knowledge. We don't have that ability. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has it. And so what we do is we say that, we acknowledge that, and then we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from His favor to guide us. And we say, so we're asking Him, and then after that we say, Allahumma in kunta ta'alam, anna hadha al-amr, that Allah, if in your knowledge this matter, and we insert the matter, whatever it happens to be, khayrun li fi dini wa ma'ashi wa aqibati amri, is good for me in my deen and in my dunya. So in both this life and the next. Then we say, so then after that, if it is good, if it is khair, faqdirhu li wa yassirhu li thumma barik li fi. So then, destine it for me, and make it and make it easy for me and give me blessing in it. Bless it for me. And then on the other hand, we say, وَإِن كُنْتَ تَعْلَمْ أَنَّ هَذَا الْأَمْرِ, insert the issue itself, شَرٌ لِي فِي دِينِ وَمَعَاشِ وَعَقِبَةِ أَمْرِ, is not good for me, is bad for me in my deen and in my dunya matters. فَصْرِفْهُ عَنِّي وَصْرِفْنِي عَنْهُ وَقْدُرْ لِلْخَيْرِ حَيْثُ كَانْ ثُمَّ ارْدِنِي بِي. Perfect, right? You say, so if it's not good for me, in this life, in the next life, right? In my matters, in the deen and in dunya. So take it away from me and take me away from it. And then bring me what is good for me and make me pleased with it. So it's absolutely perfect. You're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what's best. If it's good for you, to make it happen, to make it easy, and this is important, and I'm going to emphasize this, to make it easy, to bless it, and then if it's not good for you, to take it away from you, to take you away from it, and then to give you and replace it with what is good for you, and make you pleased with it. So now when we're looking for an answer for our istikhara, what's the answer? Is it going to come in the form of a dream, a light in the sky, whatever? The answer to the istikhara is in what ends up happening. Because you're asking Allah, what did you just ask Him for? You asked Him, if it's good for me, then make it happen and make it easy and make it blessed. And if it's not good for me, then take it away from me and take me away from it. So what happens is we pray istikhara, and after the istikhara, maybe everything is going wrong. It's just one block after another, after another, after another. And we don't ever stop to think, hey, that is my answer to my istikhara. The fact is, I asked Allah to take it away from me if it wasn't good. And this is exactly what's happening. And so what we have to understand is when we pray istikhara, we put our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what's best. And whatever happens after that, we trust that, we give it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and we're pleased with what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does, knowing firmly that this is what's best for us. So we don't need to be looking for like some sort of dream or sign, that comes in the sky or a letter in the mail or something like that. But it's what ends up happening. And on the other hand, you might pray istikhara and then all the obstacles that used to be there are slowly going away. This person's parents weren't agreeing, now they're agreeing. Everything's kind of being smooth and it's happening. Then inshallah, then that's your, you've asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala if it's good for you to make it happen. Inshallah, if it happens, inshallah, it's good for you. Now, one last thing I really want to emphasize is when you have to make a decision. Sometimes we get in situations where we have to make very, very important decisions and we have a lot of trouble. You worry, what should I do? Should I take this decision or that decision? And the main point here is that any decision that we take by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, no matter what happens, it will always be good for us. And any decision that I take by myself, and I'll explain what these two concepts mean. If I take it by myself, by my nafs, it will, no matter what ends up happening, I will always regret. And I will always look back and wonder, what if? And I wish I had done it this way. And what about this? And there will always be this nagging internally in me, wondering what if, and wondering, oh, but I, and low, and all that type of, internal, sort of torture that we do to ourselves. This happens as a result of taking a decision by oneself, that I'm taking it because this is what I want. This is what my nafs is pulling me to. Instead, what we need to do is take it to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Turn to Allah and say, Allah, guide me. Allah, take me to what is best. Allah, make it happen in the way that you, that will please you most. And instead of doing just what I want, we actually go to Allah and say, Allah, guide me to what you want. And when we do it in that way, no matter what ends up happening, it will always be good for you. And we'll never look back and say, what if? You will never look back and say, I wish I had done it this way. Because you took the decision with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not by yourself. أقولي قولي هذا واستغفر الله لي ولكم إنه غفور رحيم سبحانك الله وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات تواصل الحق وتواصل الصبر والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.